This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد My brothers and sisters in Islam After the praise to Allah Almighty and Glory And peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam I'll testify that there's no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for a beautiful, blessed gathering like this gathering. The best gathering in the best place. The gathering of knowledge in the place of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are the guests of Allah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for every step you've taken to come to this place, Allah will record for you a hasana. And Allah will minus from you a sayyi'ah. And when you are in the house of Allah, then you've been welcomed by Allah Himself. And it's a right on the guests to be welcomed by the one that's been visited. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank Allah azza wa jal for giving you this opportunity to be part of this gathering. And inshallah for us to get the more out of this gathering, I would like to request among my brothers to get closer and cover these gaps so we don't leave them for the shaitan. And inshallah we'll get the hearts together by starting getting the bodies together, inshaAllah. And tonight, we are speaking about another great companion, another great hero, another great warrior, a man that's an example for all of us, a man that's an example for a lot of people, especially those who think there is an obstacle for them to come back to Allah after disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a while. This man that's before us is a great man by the name of Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As bin Wa'il al-Qurashi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Amr ibn al-As. As I said, he's an example for a lot of people. He's an example for everyone, especially for those who think it's an obstacle for them to come back to the deen after they've disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal or even committed a sin. Well, Amr ibn al-As, before we start looking into his good side of his life, and before we start looking into his life with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's look into his life before becoming a Muslim. Last week when we spoke about Khalid ibn Walid, we said that Khalid ibn Walid became a Muslim in the eighth year of the migration, 3 years before the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we said that Khalid ibn Walid became a Muslim with the company of Amr ibn al-As and the company of Uthman, another companion, not Uthman bin Affan, Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They all became a Muslim at once. Or Uthman bin Talha, Afwan. Amr ibn al-As, before Islam, he was one of the greatest enemies of Islam. Before Islam, Amr ibn al-As was one of those who fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Strived against Islam. Struggled against Islam. Fought against Islam, tried to do everything to demolish Islam and to destroy the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of his famous incidents that Amr ibn al-As took place in before Islam is when the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum migrated to Habasha. It came to a time in Mecca where there was so much oppression on the believers and the Muslims from the people of Mecca. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no other choice except to encourage the believers and the Muslims to migrate Mecca and to go somewhere else. And alayhi salatu wa salam told the companions to go to Habasha, Abyssinia. And he said, in Habasha, there is a king, no one will be oppressed. No one will be oppressed in the presence of that king. His name is the Najashi. And Najashi was a Christian, a follower from the Romans. And the Najashi was a just king. Where there's right, he gives the right. Where there's truth, he sticks and stands by it. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the believers in Mecca to migrate Mecca and to go somewhere else. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jal will open up them outside Mecca. And he told them, go to Abyssinia. In Habasha there is a king. No one will be oppressed in his presence. So radiallahu ta'ala anhum, about 70 of them migrated Mecca and went to Habasha. And they were led by Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when the non-believers of Mecca, especially the leaders of them, the leaders of Quraysh, heard that the believers are leaving Mecca, going somewhere else, they could not see the deen of Muhammad spreading somewhere else. So they sent delegates of theirs to Habasha, to the king of Habasha, to tell the king of Habasha to kick out those Muslims who follow Muhammad. And who did they choose? They chose the most smartest man out of all of them, who was all the time to be well known to be from Duhat al-Arab, and a dahiya means very smart, that any time he's in trouble, he takes himself out of it. They chose Amr ibn al-As. And Amr ibn al-As took that mission to go to Habasha and try to turn the king of Ethiopia against the believers in Habasha. And the story, most of us to know it, when they arrived, and here they stand in front of the king of Habasha, and Amr ibn al-As comes to the king of Habasha and encourages him to kick those believers out and to tell them to go back to Mecca, because there are people who upstated the religion of their forefathers, and there are people that only call for evil. But this man is truly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him. He's a just man. So he, before he took a decision, he heard from them. So he's told Ja'far, tell me what's this religion that you're calling for? And what's this new thing that you came? So Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O king of Habasha, before Muhammad came to us, we were people of Jahiliyyah, all we care about is position and reputation. Where people used to kill the women, the daughters. Where people used to kill the women, the daughters, the female babies. We used to kill them and bury them alive. We used to cut the rights of people and take away from them. Where people used to worship idols, things that we used to create and make with our own hands. And then Allah had mercy on us, where He sent to us Muhammad. Came and called us for the good. He came and called us for the good and prevent us from which is bad and evil. He called us to worship Allah. He called us to pray to Allah, to believe in one Lord. He called us to keep ties with our kinship. He called us to be generous to our neighbors. He called us to give rights to people. He called us to be nice to people. He called us to be generous to people. And then Amr ibn al-As wanted to play with the mind of the king of Ethiopia. He said, they say very bad things about Jesus. So he told them, what do you say about Jesus Isa? So Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited on him the verses of Surah Maryam. So the king of Ethiopia started to cry, and he drew a line and he said, by Allah, the difference between my religion and your religion is this line. And then he looked at Umar ibn al-As, he said, by Allah, I would not give you them even if you gave me a mountain full of gold. You are free in my land. And he told the believers to be free in the land of Ethiopia. Amr ibn al-As was that man behind trying to provoke and turn the Ethiopian king against the believers. And not only this, but he did a lot of things. He tried a lot of things. And he put a lot of sacrifice and struggling towards destroying Islam. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the heart of Amr ibn al-As to open to Islam. Wanted the heart of Amr ibn al-As to open to Islam. And it started in the 8th year of the migration, the 8th year of Hijrah. Where Amr ibn al-As heard about a delegate of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a companion by the name Amr ibn Umayyah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to preach and call the king of Ethiopia to Islam. So Amr ibn al-As followed him to Ethiopia. And Amr ibn al-As had a good relationship with the king of Ethiopia, the king of Habasha. And when Amr ibn al-As saw Amr ibn Umayyah speaking to the king of Ethiopia, he walked in asking the king of Ethiopia to give him Amr ibn Umayyah the companion so he could kill him. So the king of Ethiopia told him, "Oh Amr, how can I give you someone who is a messenger? He is a messenger of someone that the revelation comes to him from the heavens. By Allah, Allah is going to make Muhammad. Allah is going to make Muhammad victorious the way he made Musa victorious over Fir'aun." So this clicked to the mind of Amr ibn As. Clicked to his mind. And start to think about it. So he ran back to the Arabian Peninsula to follow with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to announce his Islam in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And on the way, he met with Khalid ibn Walid. And Khalid ibn Walid told him, "Where are you going, O Amr?" He said, "I'm going to chase up with Muhammad and become a Muslim." So Khalid said, "By Allah, I'm going for the same cause and purpose." And when they arrived to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and got happy. And he said, "لَقَدْ رَمَتْكُمْ مَكَّةَ بِأَفْلَاذَتْكَ بِدِيَا." The Mecca had thrown to you that its most beloved kids. Mecca had thrown to you its beloved kids. Talking about Amr and Khalid. They were the teenagers and they were the most respected teenagers in Mecca. And then Khalid ibn Walid will put his hands in the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and announce his Islam in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it was Amr. And before Amr puts his hands in the hands of the Prophet, he tells him, "O Prophet of Allah, before I put my hands on your hands, I want to put my hands on your hands with the pledge that Allah forgives my sins over what I've done towards the believers." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "O Amr, O Amr, make this pledge. Islam forgives its past. Make this pledge. Islam forgives its past." So Amr puts his hands in the hands of the Prophet and says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulah." And then it was only a few months where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will touch in the mind of Amr his smartness, in the mind of Amr how wise he is. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 months after this man becomes a Muslim, he'll assign him to become a leader of an army that Abu Bakr and Umar were in, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Amr ibn al-As, a man that was all the time being recognized as a leader. That at one stage, Umar ibn al-Khattab saw Amr ibn al-As walking and he said, "This man has no rights to walk on earth except an Amir, except a leader. This man has no rights to walk on earth except an Amir as a leader." That's how wise, smart, courage he had, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's how much wisdom and sacrifice he had. That's how firm he was, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to a place by the name of Bali to call his father's cousins to Islam. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when I arrived there, he sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he needs more people. He needs more soldiers to be with him. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to him few hundreds of the companions with the leadership of Abu Ubaidah, including Abu Bakr and Umar in that army. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows. He knows the character of people. He told Abu Ubaidah, Abu Ubaidah, if you and Amr get together, do not disagree. Don't fight over anything, especially the leadership. And yes, when Abu Ubaidah arrived with the army that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent to support Amr ibn al-As, Abu Ubaidah was under the impression that he is the Amir. Sa'amr ibn al-As said, I called the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send me more support. So he is sending me an extra support over what I have. So I am the Amir. So Abu Ubaidah said, but Allah, the Prophet told me when I meet you not to disagree with you, and I'm not going to disagree with you. You are the Amir, and I'll pray behind you. Radiallahu ta'ala an Amr. Amr ibn al-As sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innahu la rashid al-amr. He is very smart and wise in the matters. He is very smart and wise in the matters. The Amr ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to see one of the companions of the believers confused, he used to look at him and start to shake his hands and say, Subhanallah, the one that created that man is the one that created Amr ibn al-As. Trying to say, Subhanallah, Allah created someone that's very smart and wise compared to others. Very smart and wise compared to others. And it's been mentioned that Amr ibn al-As said, he was in a gathering and told another companion, told him, how smart are you? He said, I'm so smart that every time I fall into trouble, I take myself out of it. So Amr said, I'm so wise and smart that I never even put myself into trouble. I'm so smart and wise, I never even put myself into trouble. This Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used him on one of the great battles in Islam, the battle of Dhat al-Salasil, against two tribes called Lakham and Juzam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assigned him as the Amir of the troops. And then, when Amr ibn al-As came to face the enemy, Amr ibn al-As saw a greater number of an enemy against a small number of the believers. So at night the believers wanted to turn on fire so they could heat themselves and use it as a light. Amr ibn al-As said no one to turn on the fire at night. And it was a hardship for the believers. They need a bit of fire to heat themselves and at the same time for them to see what's around. So they told Abu Bakr, tell Amr ibn al-As to allow us to turn on the fire. So Abu Bakr went to Amr ibn al-As, said, the believers are finding it hard for them not to turn on the fire. Let us turn on the fire. So Amr ibn al-As said, no one turns on the fire. And anyone that turns on the fire, he wanted to over-exaggerate, so I'm going to throw him in the fire. Of course, he would not do that, just to over-exaggerate in his words. And then the next day, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fought against the enemy, and the enemy retreated behind the mountain. And Amr ibn al-As refused to chase him. Amr ibn al-As refused to chase him. So the companion said, why don't you chase him? He said, no, I'm not going to chase him. Let's go back to Medina. So when they went back to Medina, they complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over those two incidents. Oh, Prophet of Allah, he wouldn't let us turn on the fire at night. And when we were winning the battle, they went behind the mountains and they wouldn't let us follow them. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, oh Amr, why did you do so? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, I didn't want the companions to turn on their fires at night. So when the non-believers see a small number of fire, so they'll be encouraged to know that there's a small number of an army. So I said not to turn on the fire. And I didn't want to follow the enemy after we beat them behind the mountains because I felt they had a plan behind that mountain. So I came back. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and he liked what Amr ibn al-As did. Also took place in that Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he slept and he saw in his dreams why he had to wake up and make ghusl. But Amr ibn al-As did not make ghusl. It was so cold, he did not make ghusl. And he made tayammum and he prayed an imam. And who's behind them? The rest of the believers. And the believers are amazed. He's supposed to make ghusl. He's not early praying. He's becoming an imam. So when they went back, they complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, and then he said, O Prophet of Allah, Allah said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. And I thought about myself, putting water, cold water, man, that cold weather, I'll die. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before his death, he sent Amr ibn al-As to Oman to call the kings of Oman to Islam. And while Amr ibn al-As is there, that's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Amr ibn al-As managed to convince the kings of Oman to become Muslims and to be under the Muslims, under the Islamic State. It was narrated about Amr ibn al-As, how smart he is, that at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab used to use Amr ibn al-As for a lot of the battles, for a lot of the political things. He used to use Amr ibn al-As to send him to Najash with people, to speak to people, because he knows Amr ibn al-As is very smart and wise and can't fall in a trap of anything. So once Amr ibn al-As was assigned by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead a troop and to fight against the Romans. And Umar ibn al-Khattab told Amr, Amr, the Romans have a very smart leader. They have a very smart leader. So Amr ibn al-As said, and the Arabs have very smart leader. And we'll see tomorrow which leader is smarter than the other. Referring to himself. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And then when he went there, when he went to meet and speak to the Roman leader, they plotted against Amr ibn al-As. They know he's very smart. So they've assigned someone to stand on the roof, and when Amr ibn al-As walks out, to throw a rock on his head and kill Amr ibn al-As. So when Amr ibn al-As went inside, he spoke and he gave him the options, either you become Muslim or pay the jizya or al-qital. And then when he walked out, he felt this movement at the top of his head. So he walked back, not reacting. Normal. He went back to him and said, by the way, I would like to bring the rest of the great companions who were the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are with me in a troop, and come back and hear from you. So the king, when he heard that, he told his soldiers, tell that man not to throw the rock over his head, we might hit him all at once. And Amr ibn al-As had a plan to go, and when he walked, he said, but Allah, never come back here only fighting. So he got himself out of that. He knew that he's plotting for his death. He got himself out of it. And he went and radiallahu ta'ala anhu went back and fought. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him the victory. And Amr ibn al-As is the opener of Masr, Egypt. He is the one that opened Egypt radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he is the one that walked with 4,000 of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum into Egypt. And he asked Umar ibn al-Khattab to send him more of troops to get into Egypt. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was hesitant about accepting to enter Egypt or not, because the Islamic State is getting bigger and bigger so quick. And he was worried about that. So he sent him 4,000 troops. And he sent him a letter. He sent Umar ibn al-As a letter. And he gave it to the messenger. And he said to the messenger, give it to Umar ibn al-As once you see him. So Amr ibn al-As arrived just before the borders of Egypt. And the messenger came to Amr ibn al-As telling him, I have a letter from Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Amr ibn al-As realized something. He was worried about something. So what did he do? He delayed. He told him, I'm busy, get me that letter later. And he kept walking until he went past the borders of Egypt. And then he called the messenger and told him, give me the letter. You know what was in the letter? It said, from Umar al-Khattab to Amr ibn al-As, if you did not enter Egypt, go back. If you did not enter Egypt, go back. And Amr ibn al-As, he knew that Umar ibn al-Khattab is thinking that way. So what did he do? He did not open the letter until he went past the borders of Egypt. So when he opened it, he went in, and he went into Cairo, and he conquered Cairo, and then he went into Alexandria, and he conquered Alexandria, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu has a lot of wise words and a lot of good comments that you find in a lot of the books. And he was at the time of Umar ibn Khattab a leader fighting for the truth. And he was at the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu a leader fighting for the truth. And he was assigned to look after Egypt and Sham. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after his death, it was Uthman that took over. And then after Uthman, the fitna that happened with Uthman, Umar ibn As was in Medina, he moved to Sham. And then after the death of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the fitna among the believers started. So Umar ibn al-As stood by Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there's a story that say, when that fitna took place between Ali and Muawiyah, and then the fight and the battle took place against the believers themselves, they resorted to the tahkim. And the tahkim is, Muawiyah, assign someone who's neutral from the believers to speak on your behalf, and or Muawiyah assign someone from the believers who are neutral to speak on your behalf. So Ali ibn Abi Talib chose Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and Muawiyah chose Amr ibn al-As. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As got together, and they started to speak until they came to an agreement that we all salat both imams, we all salat both khalifa, all salat Muawiyah and all salat Ali, and get the believers to elect and choose a new khalifa. But Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he twisted it a bit. They gathered the believers, and then it was for Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Amr ibn al-As to stand in front of the believers and say what they've decided on. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari told Amr, "Oh Amr, you stand up," and he told them what we've agreed. So Amr said, "No, you're older than me, wiser than me, you went into Islam before me. You stand up and you announce to them." So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari got up and he said, after praising to Allah and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "We had came to a conclusion to oscillate both. I oscillate who nominated me, Ali, and I oscillate Muawiyah." So when Amr ibn al-As' turn came, he got up and he said, after praising Allah and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I accept the oscillation of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to Ali, but I do not accept the oscillation of Muawiyah, and I confirm Muawiyah to be the Khalifa." That was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then a few days after that, Ali was killed. And then it was Hassan, the son of Ali, who became the Khalifa after Ali. And 6 months down the track, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave up the Khilafah for Muawiyah. And Muawiyah became the Muslim Khalifa from that, and it started the new era, the era of the Amawiyin. And Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu became in charge of Palestine and Egypt at the time Muawiyah. And Amr ibn al-As was targeted to be killed by the same killers that killed Ali. But he did not. The person that was assigned to kill Amr ibn al-As, he went to kill him. And he planned to kill him at Fajr, because usually the Imam or the leader of the Muslims, he is the Imam of the Muslims. And usually the Imam of the Muslims, he is the one that gets up and calls people to get up for Fajr. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu got up few half an hour before Fajr, calling upon the believers to come to Fajr. And then that killer of Ali came and killed him, plot and killed Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu during the darkness at that time. And the same one tried to, and another one tried to do the same thing with Amr ibn al-As, but Amr ibn al-As was sick, and he assigned someone else to become an imam. So the one that came to kill Amr ibn al-As ended killing the one that was assigned by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away at the time of Muawiyah, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu was buried in Egypt. He was buried in Egypt. This is the man that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Amr, give the pledge, Islam forgives its past." And this is the man that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "This man has no rights to walk on earth except a leader." On his deathbed radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "I thank Allah that I became a Muslim. I was one of the enemies of Islam, and if I died at that time, I would have entered the hellfire. I thank Allah that He guided me to Islam, and I repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And his last words were, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah." And he passed away, and he was buried in Egypt. This is Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great companion, a great leader, a great warrior of Islam, a man that had firm and strong stance at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات. انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم ائتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.